The show's starting.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez Show. Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Oh, man. The Sox got shellacked. I'm just saying. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that, you know, that your home team got shellacked, especially when it's the truth.
Happens once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, whooped. Would you say whooped or shellacked? I think shellacked.
Taken out behind the barn and taught a lesson.
Well, yeah. Shellacked does have it because it has a hard K sound.
Yeah.
Shellacked.
It's really harsh when you... Yeah, see?
Shellacked. Shellacked.
You have to really try with whooped.
You do. And as Roger mentioned, it's like being taught a lesson. So I don't know. I don't know. Let's see how they do tomorrow. See if they learn their lesson.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll get back on track.
Exactly.
That's what the players say. It's only one game. We take it one game at a time. And tomorrow we're going to come back and do our best.
Yes. And they won last night. So there you go. It's baseball.
Sometimes it happens. Well, you know, the Cubs lost two games straight that they should have won.
And tonight.
And they beat up on the other team tonight. They shellacked
the other team.
The other team.
What is that game over? The Cubs game?
Yeah, it's all done. 14-6.
Oh, well, there you go. I feel like
Chris Bryant had three home runs.
I heard, like, back-to-back innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three innings in a row?
Yeah,
went up there, and it's like...
Kaboom, kaboom, and kaboom.
I think there should be an extra exclamation point at the end of that last kaboom. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. Good to see you again. End of a week.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. I always check a time.
What have you been doing?
I said
don't
it was
you
Friday.
Have a calendar that you check off the days.
Because of the nature. I think a lot of people are like me, where you do different jobs. You do different jobs. It's the beginning of your week. You're working now through Sunday.
That's right.
So weekends become sort of nebulous, don't they? They're sort of.
Well, I mean, we still have stuff on the calendar.
It says at the end of the week.
I mean, we've got...
Well, end of the week is technically tomorrow then, because the beginning of the new week is Sunday, or is it Monday?
That's true. According to calendars,
yes.
Sunday is the first day of the new line of a week.
Because God said so.
Okay, fine.
Didn't he?
Wasn't that in the Bible? I don't know. It depends if you want to put Sunday at the end of the week, so you rest at the end of the week, or Sunday at the beginning, you're resting before you have to dig in again.
Right.
I mean, it all depends on your point of view.
I like your point of view.
Okay.
I think,
I think we need two Sundays per week.
Oh. See. Now you want an 8-day week?
No.
That seems like a lot of maneuvering.
7-day week.
No, but you can't have two Sundays in the week that we already have.
All right, then. But you make work week 4 days.
Okay. Now that's even more maneuvering that you're requiring world.
I actually know that there are a lot of cities around the world that have 4-day work weeks.
Right.
And 3-day weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when I was working out in Las Vegas doing news, North Las Vegas actually voted to have a 4-day work week.
And I think that I remember when my husband lost his job, I wondered, you know, there were other companies at the time that were also struggling in 2008 when everything imploded.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of companies just completely cleared the decks.
Mm-hmm.
They just started firing people left and right. And I remember thinking, there has to be a better way to do this. And there were some companies that went to 4-day work weeks, you know, so that they could pull back on some of the salaries and say, well, we're only going to have you work 4 days. You're going to keep your job. And I wonder how that solution worked for some of those companies. I wonder if there's a study anywhere that shows companies that adjusted for what was going on.
Sure.
And rather than eliminating positions, which is what happened in my husband.
Yeah.
They eliminated his position. It no longer exists.
Well, when you go to 4-day work week, the only way you're going to save money is say, okay, now you're not working 40 hours a week, so now we can cut back on your benefits, we can cut back on this, we can cut back on that. That's the only way they're going to save money. You don't go, all right, you're only going to work 4 days, but we're still going to pay you all the money we were paying you and give you all the benefits. Then the company's not saving money.
Yeah. See, I stopped wondering about it because it didn't matter.
Yeah. I understand.
But anyway, this is only because, bro, I was just wondering if Friday's the end of the week. We're going to work it out during the break. Everybody else, show us your work. Do the diagrams, the charts. Let us know how it works out for you. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
The show started.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
It is time for Binge and Uncork with our favorite winemaker, Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. And Susan, you pointed out something very important that I have been giving you some very heavy series to watch. Where did this rank on in the idea of the heavy shows that I've assigned to you?
Well, it's a lot lighter than Ozark.
Oh, there you go. If we're going to use comparisons, it's lighter in the sense that, I mean, it's heavy, though. I mean, this is about a cop in northern England who is dealing with the tragedy in her life. Her daughter had been assaulted, had been raped, got pregnant as a result. Her daughter, then took her own life. And now she's raising the child that she had from that assault. And a lot of other things unfold after that. And that's pretty. It's some pretty heavy stuff, Susan.
I can't believe I hadn't heard of this show, because I really, once I delved into it, I was really digging it, and I was loving the season two. A lot of times, you know, you get into season two and you're like, I don't know, but the characters change and develop a lot more in season two, which is really interesting.
How creepy is the woman who insinuates herself into the life of the child?
Oh yeah, the teacher.
She plays did you see any of the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah.
She plays Moaning Mona.
Oh, she's Mona.
She's Mona.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No, that was creepy just because it could really happen. You thought that a teacher could become so friendly with a student and really, you know, they're shaping that child all throughout the day. And then she's actually... been like a double agent spy kind of thing.
Yeah,
a bad guy.
I've never seen. I mean, maybe it's happened in other stories, and I'm sure there's a book out there somewhere, or a movie, or a play. But you're right. I've never seen something dramatized this way, where you see a teacher have such influence on a child, and it has incredible repercussions, not just for him, for his family, and really for the community. You know?
Oh, because everybody thought she was wonderful. Like, they all thought she was a great person, and then it turns out she's, you know, hanging out with the bad guy, seeing him in prison and falling in love with him, and just really strange. But
by the way, before we move on, I have to make sure I correct myself, because I've been corrected by a listener. It's Moaning Myrtle. Yes. Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, Moaning.
Yes. I run them together, because Moaning Mona sounds like more moaning. So that's probably why I thought of it that way. But Moaning Myrtle, she's the ghost in the bathroom that they encounter. Anyway, not part of the story, just the actress that plays both roles. But the lead actress in this, the woman who plays the cop, is incredible. I'm blown away by her. Isn't she incredible?
So strong.
Yeah. That's the actress Sarah Lancashire, and she plays a woman who is in the police force. She was formerly a detective, and we kind of pick up in the middle of her day where she's dealing with somebody on a playground, and you see how good she is at her job, and then you kind of peel back that layer, and you go, oh, she's got a lot of dark stuff going on in her life, and that's how the first season unfolds. I mean, there is, and they do it so quietly, don't you think? The drama, the tragedy, the just the sinister nature of these drug dealers in their community, and the lengths at which they're willing to go to keep their business going.
Yeah, and then they're interweaving, you know, other little crime stories in between them.
Yes.
For each one at the same time, while there's this long story going on with the short stories. So I thought that was really well done.
Well, so would you recommend this to our listeners to watch Happy Valley?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know it existed. It's not one of those ones that you can kind of have on in the background. You really have to listen. You really have to watch it, because there's a lot of little subterfuge going on. Plus the accents, you have to kind of get used to.
Yes.
It takes a few shows to get used to them. Yeah, it's so good.
Well, as somebody who is often criticized for talking too quickly, they talk quickly with an accent.
Yeah.
I challenge you to try to understand what I've had to rewind, and I'm like, what did she just say? There's so much about her, because she's part tough, part kind, and she's struggling with so much.
And I love that she and her sister live together, because you don't see that too much anymore. So, you know, the whole family kind of under one roof.
Exactly.
It was kind of nice to see that.
It was, yeah. So I recommend it as well. Happy Valley is on Netflix. There are two series. They've been renewed for a third season. There's two seasons. There's another season coming, I think, in 2020. And I'm looking forward to that one as well. So I have to know what kind of... Because this is another show. There are shows we've talked about, like Peaky Blinders, which you paired with a wonderful with a wonderful wine. I often thought, I just, you know, you just kind of want to have a glass of whiskey with that series. So what did you pair with this one?
So, you know, of course, when I was watching it, it was a little chillier, although it is pretty chilly for you guys right now tonight, right?
It is, it is.
It was like 79 degrees down here, which is more just a couple hours from you, and it was like a hot, steamy summer day. But at the time I was watching it, I was, well, it felt like it needed to be a red because it had to be something you were just like at the edge of your seat kind of sipping slowly. You couldn't do a white with it, so it had to be a big red. So I had chosen my my Carmen, my 2016 Cabernet Franc. It's kind of mellow and soft, but it's got some complexity. And I was thinking this show also, the same thing. Like, it has a lot of complexity, and you can't just, like, take it all down. It's a slow sipper. You have to draw it all in. And, yeah, it was definitely – it was a good choice. And I also had trail mix with it, by the way, for Elliot.
Oh, I'll tell him. So it was a Cabernet Franc and trail mix.
Yeah, and trail mix, yeah.
Outstanding. Outstanding. How are the preparations going for the warm weather? Because you have the best venue in Central Illinois for having people over, enjoying live music, great food, and of course sipping out some wine.
Finally, we have nice weather for the outside patios, and then, you know, the Wine Rock stage. Oh gosh, it's only been like 3 weeks of gorgeous weather. Finally, cooperating Mother Nature has been nice. The vineyard's a little angry, like it's way behind. You know, getting started for the season, so I expect all of the grapes to come in super late this year, but maybe I'll be surprised and we'll get some 100-degree days in the summer and get the grapes ripening, but we're all a little behind schedule. I'm like, you guys are probably too.
Well, it was an aggressive and relentless winter, so we're all kind of shaking it off right now. I actually just took a photo of some of the tulips that are blooming outside of the building here, of the station.
And it's only, like, it's the end of May, and we just now are getting tulips.
Yes, but I'll take them. I will take them. It was a nasty winter, and this, you know, the spring's off to a bumpy start, but we've had some great days in between, so I'll take whatever I can get. And I just was texting you, but I'll let people know, I'm going to be down at Dannenberger Family Vineyards Memorial Day weekend. Is it Memorial Day weekend, or is it the weekend after, kind of, because Memorial Day weekend is on the 27th, so I'll be there on the 31st, June 1st time that weekend. Looking forward to it.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to, like, hang out with all my peeps.
Yay! And so hear some great music.
Everyone, and drink wine.
That's right. Everyone can go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com. Follow Susan on Twitter, on Instagram. Stilettos in the Vineyard on Instagram as well. DFV Wines. And I do have I think I have a lighter one. I have not seen this series either, so we're getting into this one together. When I was in Los Angeles, someone asked me if I watched a series that somebody else had mentioned on the air a few weeks ago, because I'm a big fan of Sam Elliott's, and there's a series called The Ranch on Netflix that I've heard is very good. So you and I are going to enjoy it. There's three seasons. So I don't know if we're going to catch up next week.
I've seen it listed, but I have not watched it, so that's cool.
Yes, so there we go. We've got a comedy. I don't know anything about it except that Sam Elliott and Ashton Kutcher are on it. That's all I know.
Who doesn't love Sam Elliott?
I know. I love Sam Elliott. So that is your assignment, should you be willing to accept it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yay. I look forward to hearing what you think, and we'll touch base before then. And it's always lovely to catch up with you. Everyone go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com. They're located in New Berlin, Illinois at 12341 Irish Road. That farm has been in her family for generations. It's their road, so you should stop by and see. It's a landmark down there. Susan,
definitely a destination.
No doubt it's a destination. I'm looking forward to, I want to talk more about the possibility. I don't know if you're still planning for a bed and breakfast, but we should talk more about that when I come down.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Have a great weekend, Susan.
All right, good night. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers. More after this on 720 WGN, because it's finally Friday. It is Friday night. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. Joining me in studio is Dave Lundy. Ooh, you know what I was reading the other night on our text screen? Because, you know, Justin has the show before me.
Right.
I shouldn't put you on the spot like this on the air and everything, but people were, like, just clamoring for Touche to come back.
No.
Yep.
Really?
There were people, yep. There were people who were like, where are those two guys that go at each other over politics?
Oh, wow.
And then people knew, like, there were other listeners who were like, yeah, Touche, bring back Touche. So I don't know if Justin has contacted you about... What's kind of it's hard to, you know, you're busy, you get a full schedule, and
yeah. You know, it's just you know, I find, Patty, that as you know, civility and political argument is really important to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding lately I just don't have the patience for the toxicity that you often get in these arguments. So
would you rather argue Cubs and White Sox?
Oh, sure.
I'm not going to argue with you. I just want to know if you prefer that.
Well, let's see.
You're very excited about the game tonight.
Tonight would be a good night to argue about that, though.
I don't know.
Because the Cubs won 14-6 and the White Sox lost 10-2.
Yeah, but last night the Sox won 5-something.
Yeah, I know. But well, tonight was very exciting if you're a Cubs fan, because a lot of great at-bats, and Chris Bryant got 3 home runs in 3 consecutive innings for the first time since Sammy Sosa did it.
Oh, was it the last Cubby that did it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, think about it. You know, 3 home runs in 3 innings. First of all, you got to figure out how many batters you got to go through for each inning. That means you're getting through the entire lineup in each inning. Plus, every time the guy got a bat against 3 different pitchers, he got home runs.
That's incredible.
It was really wild.
That's exciting. You're right. Okay. Tonight the Cubs win.
Yeah, just for tonight.
In both ways.
Yeah.
Better team in the city tonight.
Yeah, exactly. More fun.
It's very fun. How have they won in a row? I know there was like an 8.
They were doing spectacular. Well, they were actually they were like 17 of 19 they won, and then they just lost 2 to the lowly Cincinnati Reds. But I think we'll be okay this year.
I was telling Steve today that for the first time in my life, for the first time that I can remember, I'm just not excited about baseball this year. And I don't know if it was partly the winter, you know, partly just like I don't have the love for it this year. I love baseball, but I'm not jazzed about following the Cubs or the White Sox.
Honestly, I hear you. I felt that way going into the season. Uh-huh. I was very demoralized by what happened with the Ricketts and all that nonsense with the aldermanic race and obviously the, you know, Papa Joe's crazy emails and, you know, the racist emails and stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, it's your team.
I know. You know what's interesting about that, though? It's not specifically about what happened politically, right, around what with the Cubs and Sinclair and everything like that. But when people started posting about their apprehension or, you know, their, you know, disappointment, the reaction on social media when people even questioned whether or not they were going to be able to watch the Cubs, the nastiness, I was like, well, this is baseball. I don't have to answer to you as to what team I like. And it's like anything else. I get to just sort of hang back a little bit.
No,
but
people were
really ugly.
Although, interestingly, there were a lot of people who had that same ambivalence going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Cubs fans who had that same ambivalence going into the season. And it was... you know, it took me a little while to get into it, but now the season's on. And
until Chris Bryant hit 3 home runs tonight, hello.
Yeah,
we just talked about that.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Hey, and by the way, can I tell you how excited I am for the finally Friday panel to be reunited?
Has it been about a month at
least? It's been like 6 weeks since Elk's been here.
Reunited.
I've been here, I think, once in the last 5 weeks.
Ken Jacobowski, Eric Elk join us in studio. Dave Lundy is the president of Aileron Communications and a regular contributor here at WGN and CLTV. And then there's like another radio show I heard him on one night. I'm like, what the hell was that? And not that I listen to other stations.
This is how he puts his kids through school.
Do you get paid for that other show?
No, and actually, I'm never doing that other show again.
That was
for
insane.
Exactly the reason I just mentioned.
I was like, it was insane what was going
insane.
On that show.
It
was,
yeah, it well, was really... you know, I was on with
you cheated.
What's that?
You cheated?
Yeah, as you should.
I did.
Yeah.
And I'll leave the...
Hey, the Mr. Show. Doing Rick Pearson's show over here.
Exactly.
It's another show. I know it's the same station, but I saw that. I can't make it to Finally Friday, but I'll get up at 5:30 in the morning and do Rick Pearson's show. Okay.
That's like, that's just like dating another member of the family.
Ew.
I mean, come on, man.
Hi, Ken. Ouch. How are you doing? Ken is the...
I'm doing great. I've never quite understood Eric doing that, but, you know.
No, you absolutely should do that. And you, as we all should, you know, I can't do it. I don't.
See, I stay pure. I stay pure. the only other radio I've done, the only other thing I've done is
already?
No. Only other radio I've done is sports radio, and I figure that has zero conflict with this. I'm loyal to Patty. I will not go on another show. Not to talk politics.
Dave's trying not to do the one mean thing. He's like, has anybody else invited you to do another
No!
show?
Hey ho!
Oh yeah,
I was not saying that.
I do some national radio stuff, but.
That's Ken Jakubowski, the president and CEO of, I can't even remember anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Sirius.
Sirius Enterprises.
Used to work with Reverend Jackson.
Of not Sirius.
Sirius Enterprises, crisis communications expert, and used to work with Reverend Jesse Jackson, who came up in a conversation. I was talking to somebody. I didn't realize he had his own radio show for a while on CBS Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago.
He had his own television show on CNN, which was actually very well. You know, fairly high listener, yeah. Very very high audience ratings. Radio show. He's done just about everything.
But the musical comedy show, the variety show he did, that was something.
Listen, I don't know that, but I will tell you, it would not shock me. Knowing Reverend Jackson, it would not surprise me in the least.
Well, it was him and Donnie and Marie.
A musical review.
They did it together. They did a whole musical
I could see
review.
Reverend Jackson saying, okay, now here comes the Four Tops.
Yes. Or was it Sonny and Cher?
Wait, I'm sorry. Everyone just be quiet for a moment because
Eric just
Elk.
Bring in?
Oh, Eric. This is for yourself, isn't it?
No, we're going to share that.
What is this? That's Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois.
Yeah, I don't care who he is. I just want to know what he brought in to eat.
Wait a minute. Just former chief of staff of Senator Mark Kirk.
Yes.
Inconsequential.
Sorry, it's been a while. See what happens when you don't come in for a while?
It's the birthday cake donut.
Is it your birthday?
No, but it looked dang good. So.
We love Eric when he brought us a fire cake.
He brought us fire cake.
I was thinking fire cake. Donuts.
Hey, can I ask you guys a semi-serious question? So,
if it's serious, can we wait till after the news?
Can I just throw it out there? Speaking of Reverend Jackson, he put out a tweet this week that said he was going to the Nicaraguan embassy. Actually, it was the Venezuelan embassy in Washington where there are people that are being held, I don't know, captive or something? Like a hostage?
Julian Assange?
No. Are there Americans in there or something?
We really should have waited until after the news.
It showed a picture of some people in the embassy.
I don't know.
At least after the break.
Hold on. Yeah, because you said you wanted to ask a question.
Leave it out there. Maybe one of our audience
knows about it.
Maybe they know something going on in the embassy.
Do you not have Google?
I couldn't find anything about it, but I saw a picture of people in an embassy.
Hold on. Before I go to the break, the 219 says, today is the anniversary of the game where the Cubs scored 22 runs and lost to the Phillies. That's from Jeff and Hammond. More after this on 720 WGN. Settle in. We got Dave Lundy, Eric Elk, and Ken Jakubowski in studio, and we're talking baseball and donuts. And people are like, "You're not going to talk politics?" It's so funny. You can't make everybody happy, Dave, because other people are like, "Oh, it's Friday night. I don't want to talk politics." Thank you, Jeff. We will talk some of the stories in the news. I don't know how to react to this. Is weird because I have always felt very strongly when it comes to participating in. Being a citizen, right? Being aware of what's going on. And I know that we all hear things differently. We feel differently about what is legislated, right? My entire life, Roe v. Wade has been the law of the land. And Roe v. Wade, I guess maybe we should start there. Roe v. Wade is what? Roe v. Wade is about the privacy issue, actually. It's not necessarily the legalization of abortion, is it?
So Roe v. Wade was the case that followed on the Griswold decision that established that a person has a right to privacy. In 1970.
Right.
And Roe was decided about abortion rights, but it was predicated on this concept of privacy rights. And there are a lot of legal scholars and a lot of legal critics who always thought it was poorly argued, poorly decided, and that the logic would inherently lead to its eventual overturn. Because there was a lot of interesting things about Roe. I remember this from law school. I am a recovering lawyer, but the only thing I actually paid attention to in law school was things like this. You know, there was a lot of discussion in Roe about viability and the trimesters. But literally since Roe was decided, abortion rights have been scaled back, you know, pretty much for the last 40 years.
Right. And by that, you mean that there have been different restrictions put into place, in particular in the last 20 years. Let's say in Texas, they tried to have it so that you had to have a certain doorway width in order to be able to perform abortion services. Right.
Yeah, they put a whole lot of restrictions in there that have nothing to do with health.
Right.
You know, like you have to have an affiliation with the hospital,
right.
And there's all kinds of other stuff. And all of these restrictions were designed to eliminate abortion. Although, parenthetically, it's always driven me crazy that all the people who are yelling and screaming so hard against abortion are also against birth control. Nonetheless, they've adopted all these restrictions to try to end abortion, and now they're just going full tilt. They're we're not going to beat around the bush.
And those restrictions came about after the 1992 decision, which narrowed the Roe decision.
That was Casey, right?
It was Planned Parenthood versus, I can't remember who the defendant was in the case. But yeah, it was Casey. That's right. Yeah. It was Casey. Right. I think that's Bob Casey, former governor of Pennsylvania, I believe.
Right.
So, and by the way, Donald is already texting in. So Donald texts, he has a lot of very strong thoughts. So Donald, I'm going to ask you this question, and to a lot of our listeners who are very excited about the legislation in Missouri, Alabama, Georgia, and the direction a lot of the states are going in order to challenge.
Yeah. Michigan legislature is doing it as
Ohio,
well.
Ohio
passed it. Yeah. Michigan's trying to.
So my question is, we'll continue to ask this question for a while, because I know Donald has texted in a couple times saying that this is murder. So this is not an easy conversation. So people believe that it is murder. If you believe it is murder, then those states need to say you have to prosecute women who either have an abortion or try to have an abortion. Full stop. You must prosecute them as nobody else.
Well,
I mean, maybe the doctor.
I think that's happening in Missouri, right?
I'm going to need you to step back for just a second, because you came in here and said it wasn't a big deal. And that got me fired up. You said it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, because it has been going on for 40 years and we've acted as though it is not a big deal. And that's why we are at this point, right? There are places in Mississippi, they are down to one place, because over 40 years they have said, well, this, you have to have this requirement. You have to have this kind of a license. You have to have so many hours at this hospital. So can I disagree that
it's
not news?
With the Supreme Court 1992 opinion, the Supreme Court left issues of when a baby is deemed, when a fetus is deemed viable, then the state can regulate it how it sees fit, as long as it doesn't put an undue burden on the mother. And that's where all these state rulings are coming from. Now,
why do you say it's not news then? Why do you think it's not a big deal? Alabama, Missouri, and Georgia.
Alabama,
are doing this?
I think, will.
And Ohio. Ohio has some of the strictest laws they just passed.
It depends on the particulars. I don't think Alabama is going. I think that's going to be overturned. I mean,
I understand everyone's like, look, it's, you know, it doesn't even, and everyone will say this, right? That's the slow roll is like, oh, you know what? It's not even going into effect yet, or it's not this, it's not. And all the like, oh, you're overreacting, or you're making it a bigger deal than it is. And when we talk about, you know, in Indiana, there was a movement to make sure that when a woman had a miscarriage, she had to provide proof of that, which is why. And I suggest that we start doing this now in across the country. Women started sending their dirty tampons and pads to the governor, Governor Pence, to say like, hey, here, I'm menstruating, so don't worry, I don't have anything in my uterus. And you know what? I'm more than happy to do that too. Although I don't know how many more I have left. But at any rate, hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, Patty.
I got to slow it down. Hold on, I can do this.
No, look, you have a double standard here, because so many of the laws that are being adopted, mostly by men, like in the case of Alabama, where it was 25 white men in the Senate who passed this law, are imposing restrictions on women that they never, ever, ever, ever in a million years would impose on men.
Where are those same people on the death penalty?
Yes,
Alabama has the highest per capita execution rate in the country.
It's kind of intellectually dishonest then, isn't it?
Well, Eric, I think.
But the,
I think this stuff is intellectually dishonest. I think it's intellectually dishonest. I think the laws that have been passed in the last couple of weeks are infuriating. But I think they have to. They're going to now work their way through the legal system. Let's see what the final result's going to be in about 4 to 5 years. Then we can decide. Then we can see where we're at. We'll probably have a new court. Will probably be in place then. We have no idea how this is going to end up. In the short term, you would hope an injunction would stop enforcement of these laws, because one can certainly argue that they run counter to establish national law. Now, maybe that happens in some cases. Maybe it doesn't happen in others. But I think it's terrible for those folks who live in those states. Those are elected officials of people who live in those states. And as much as we are opposed to of that and are appalled by what's going on, those are folks that have decided that that's how they want the laws to be in that particular state. And I don't really think we have anything to say about it, except let's let the legal system work its way through. Thank God it's not Illinois.
I'm a supporter of 10th Amendment states' rights as well. However, there comes a point where I think you have a very active group of folks who, are passing laws that I don't know that the rest of the constituency of the state support.
Well, they'll have an opportunity to throw them out,
and that's where I say elections have consequences.
Yep. Absolutely, and if you live in those states and you're not happy, throw them out. Go to the voting booth.
And I would, it's funny, there was one thing I agreed with Herman Cain when he was running for president several years ago, which is, and I agree, this is from the 708, it's basically the same thing. I am against abortion. I'm against abortion in the sense, I hope no woman ever has to be forced into a decision for whatever reason, whatever that is. We don't have to go through the long list of whatever that is. I hope that she never has to make that decision. But I would never take away her ability to do so. And people will ask me, and I'm going to turn everyone's mics off just for a minute because I'm going to go to break. But I will say this. People ask me, well, you're the mother of a child with a disability. You know, what about all these people who are saying that, well, then we can abort babies when we find out that they have special needs? And I was talking to Ro before the break. I can't make that decision for other people. I don't know if you had told me before Declan was born, if you had told me that I would have a baby who would never talk, never grow out of diapers, that he would grow to an adult and possibly reach into his diaper and eat his own fecal matter, that he'll never hear him say mommy, he'll never live independently, he'll never all the nevers, right? That's what you're given when a child like Declan is born medically fragile. You're given all the nevers, and even that is hard enough when you're pregnant and you don't know if you can do that. You don't know if your insurance company is going to take care of that $750,000 bill to save his life, the maybe $500,000 a year that it's going to take, whether it's for schooling, for medical needs, in order to help him get through life. And yes, I understand. So what I'm saying is I am glad that I had Declan. I don't know that had you told me that what my life was going to be like, if I could look ahead and go, oh, yeah, I can handle that. This is not for everybody. So as far as people asking me as a special needs mom, well, you don't want to eliminate special needs people. Obviously, I do not, because everything happens to each person in a way that you can't possibly comprehend. I know that there are mothers who take the child's life. When there was a mother in San Francisco who drowned her 4-year-old son because she had spent $75,000 in autism services and he was not getting any better. So she decided to terminate him then. There was a young boy who had Down syndrome, and his parents dismembered him and threw him out the car window along a rural road. There was a mother in Michigan who drove her car into a retaining pond, and she killed herself and her child. I'm telling you that when you ask me as a special needs mom, if you want to know my point of view on that, should you abort a child with special needs? No. Should you be able to? Yes. Should you be able to? If say they tell your child's not going to live, they're going to be deformed, they're not going to survive, you should be able to have that choice. What can you do? And that's what it comes down to. We'll talk some more when we come back. I know that Dave. Well, Dave, I'm not going to cut you off. I know that you have a very personal story about this as well.
Yeah, I mean the caricature of the choice is that it's a matter of convenience and people do it out of convenience. The reality is that people often do it because of special situations. I had that situation with my wife where our first pregnancy
at 19 weeks or 17 weeks, I forget which, we went in for an ultrasound in order to get an amnio because my wife was of older maternal age. They discovered in the ultrasound that the baby had a condition called anencephaly, which is a lack of development of the skull and brain. So according to the so-called pro-lifers, they would have forced my wife to carry that child to term, knowing full well it would die within seconds of leaving the womb. But it would survive through the pregnancy because the autonomic nervous system survived, even though there's no brain. That's not their choice.
Right.
And when the doctor came into the room and gave us the news, and it was, you know, the most traumatic moment of our lives before or since, and they said, well, you know, these are your options. And our initial thought was, what do you mean these are our options? We're going to terminate the pregnancy. Why would I torture my wife?
Right.
And so I think all of those who are on the so-called pro-life side of this ledger really need to take a step back and consider the human condition and that the world is full of nuance. It's not black and white.
Well, that's never going to happen. This is not an easy conversation. I have stayed away as much as I can throughout my career, my life of having arguments with people. But here we are because there are states that want to push this. And this was a goal of a lot of people for why they wanted President Trump to win, because he said when he was running that he would choose justices on the Supreme Court who would overturn Roe v. Wade. More after this on 720 WGN. Jasmine, we're going to take your call when we come back. Friday night. I think, you know what's funny, Eric, I was just thinking on the way in tonight, I had spoken to the early eights last year about being our Friday night band, and I was thinking, man, tonight would have been a good night to have some live music in between this conversation, because I knew that we would start getting some texts and some phone calls, and Jasmine has been on hold for a while. Jasmine, I'm sorry to put you on hold. I needed to at least start the conversation a little bit, and I know you wanted to join us. How are you doing tonight, Jasmine?
I'm all right, and I'm glad to hear everyone else is as fired up and disgusted as I am.
What bothers you about the move to push these cases to the Supreme Court to make a decision about Roe v. Wade?
Well, it's not really the Supreme Court that bothers me. It's the laws that they made themselves, like in Alabama. Wednesday morning when I was listening to my daily dose of politics, I heard that they, passed this bill, and I feel like it's not the government's choice to tell a woman what she wants to do with her body, because she might be in some situations where she has to get rid of the kid. And it just made me very, very angry and disgusted, and I wanted to tweet about it, but there weren't enough characters to express how I felt.
Oh, Jasmine.
You know, at City Club yesterday, Mayor Pete was asked about this, and he said he just doesn't understand. He does not understand lawmakers who give a longer jail sentence to the doctor who terminated the pregnancy than to the rapist who got the woman pregnant. The law is crazy. 99-year sentence for a doctor who performs an abortion. I mean, rapists, murderers, nobody gets 99 years.
I know Ro wanted to say something. Go ahead, Ro.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest issue with this, I think, is not even allowing there some wiggle room for certain situations. You're talking, okay, let's say we do have adoption. Say, okay, there's the option of adoption if you really don't want a child. How many children are in foster care in the United States and stay in foster care until they're 18, leave at 18, forced out, and then have nowhere to go and get into all type of things on the street? You're talking over 500,000 children in the United States currently in foster care. So are we just going to continue to add to that number? And then where's the funding for these children that nobody, quote unquote, has the money for? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's falls in line with the 21% of children in poverty and in families of poverty, so on and so forth. I think we have to be realistic about this as well. Aside from the argument that, no, the government has no right to tell a woman what to do with her body, it economically makes no sense for our country.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, look, despite the fact that I was adopted and had my mother decided to abort me, I wouldn't be here today. I still believe that, you know, a woman has a right to choose, and the government doesn't have a right to tell a woman what to do with her body. That's just, that's between her and her God, and her physician. And that's that. I think the laws that have been passed in these states are draconian, and I'm hopeful, and this is where Dave and I disagree, I'm hopeful that the court system will provide some sense to the system and blunt this effort.
We have to go to the news. Our conversation obviously continues. Jasmine, you can hang on the line. We've got more texters coming in. By the way, 312, that doesn't happen. And I'll tell you what I mean when I come back on 720 WGN. You know what I really miss? And I think I messaged this to all three of you tonight.
What do you miss,
my
Patty?
Finally Friday panel. What we used to do, Ro, was we would keep all the big headlines of the week and talk about them on Friday over a segment called Whiskey in a Cookie. And we have ended that segment, and tonight seems like it would have been a really good time to do.
Yeah, we took that literally.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really good.
I did a little back in the other studios.
Yeah, but the Tribune Tower. That was it just made nights like this a little bit easier. Jasmine on the line with us. We've been talking about the passage of legislation at the state level in Ohio, Alabama, Georgia, Missouri. I believe altogether there have been 8 states that have made, and Erica's mentioning Michigan has taken great strides. There's a lot of, I can see from our tech screen that there's a wild amount of misunderstanding and misinformation that I can't even begin to reverse. We're not going to fix the ignorant idea that there is anything. There is no such thing as a partial live abort, like the baby's alive and then they kill it. There's no such thing. That is murder. That is illegal. And I don't know why that continues to dominate the conversation. It is. Well,
because President Trump keeps saying
it. It doesn't exist.
Trump tweets about it and talks about it.
He talked about it in his rallies. He said that you can. They pull the baby out of the mother, and then they kill it. It's like, they don't. It doesn't exist.
That's prohibited. You cannot do that.
Here. Partial birth abortion is illegal in the United States. When they bring it up, they do it because you know how strong and visceral of a reaction and disgust and moral indignation people like some of our listeners will react with. That's the thing. They get upset. They hear that a baby is being murdered. That's not happening. For the other questions, I know that people always ask, well, if a woman who is pregnant is killed and the baby also dies, then why is it a double murder? I mean, these are legal issues, but, you know, she didn't make that. First of all, there's so much here that I can't even begin. And then there's I agree with abortion up to 12 weeks, or I agree with abortion up to 20 weeks, or a woman can have as many abortions as she wants as long as I have to pay for it. The line always keeps moving, and it reminds every single one of us that it's none of your business. I'm sorry. It means that it's none of your business. It means that it's not. These are decisions that are made in private. Most of the time, it's for health reasons. When it's after 20 weeks, almost always it's a health reason. Whether it's the life of the mother or the child. And even then, I'm not even saying using the right language.
No,
right?
But again, you know, in our situation, you know, it was none of anybody else's business. And as we went through the entire process, and by the way. When you're at an advanced stage, it's an excruciating process for the woman. Yeah. Just absolutely excruciating. And it's a multi-day process that you have to go through. And but as we were doing this, all we could think about as we were working through our grief was there are people in other states who would make us carry this baby to term.
Right.
And now imagine having been raped and being in that situation.
Right.
And under these state laws, you'd have to see it through to term. I mean, it's just
some of these bills are basically life begins at rape legislation. Hey, Jasmine, I know you've been on hold. How are you doing?
Just angry.
I know.
I'm trying to get all this off my chest before I have to go sailing in the morning.
You're going sailing?
What time are you going sailing in the morning, Jasmine?
I don't have to be at the harbor till 11, and. Technically, we're not going on the water yet. We're just doing boat maintenance for now. But I don't like going to do something that I love with bad thoughts. So I'm trying to get all of it off my chest now.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope we've helped a little. I mean, we're not going to solve anything, and I know we can't make you feel better. This is going to be ongoing, and I also think there's a big risk for Republicans, because unless everyone is placated and doesn't think it's a big deal, like Ken, and just
don't use the word placated when I said big deal. It's not what I mean. You know that.
Hold on, go, Jasmine.
If I can be allowed to give an example real quick or share something, I knew a couple girls at my high school who ended up having kids in high school. And, you know, as far as I know, they decided to keep their babies, and I was happy for them. But one of these girls that I knew, she missed her entire senior year raising her child. And, you know, I feel like, again, if she wanted to keep it, I'm happy for her. But you took on the responsibilities of parenthood when you're still a baby yourself, and you should be worrying about prom and teenage stuff. So I feel like girls in high school in Alabama, if they go a little crazy, make a mistake, they're going to be forced by law to carry this baby and basically ruin the rest of their entire high school career, because I'll spare you the details of what's going on in high school these days.
Well, Jasmine, I thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, and I hope you get some rest tonight before you go work on the boats tomorrow, okay?
All right. Thank you for letting me talk.
Of course, Jasmine. Have a good night. Get some rest, will you? Thank you. I know Sally wanted to join our conversation. Hey, Sally, how are you doing?
Hi. Hello?
Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for calling. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
I know this is hard. I'm sorry we had to put you on hold for so long.
That's okay.
What did you want to tell us?
I am not for anybody getting an abortion, but I believe it should be someone's right to do so. I've been there and done that. And people will probably hate me because I did, but not many people know it. Nobody that I know knows it, just a few people. And it has got to be the most god-awful thing to live with for 40-plus years.
Awesome.
Thinking back to then. But I was a teenager. I was young. I was alone. I moved to a different state. I met a man that was 27 years older than me. And when I ended up pregnant, he was a devout Catholic. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was a devout Catholic, and he was dead set against abortion. But he didn't want any part of helping raise a child, because his three kids were older than me from his previous marriage. So he had me leave the state and told me to go and have the baby on my own and give it up for adoption and come back to him.
Oh, Sally.
Well, I opted for an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the only thing I could do at the time.
Right.
And I'll tell you, like I said, I hope any girls or any young women that do have an abortion think long and hard, because there isn't a day that goes by that I don't regret it. And there isn't a day goes by that I'm kind of glad I did what I did.
Right. And Sally, and Sally,
it's one of those. Yeah.
Well, that's a and that's what I want is you know, this is obviously a bigger conversation, and but also a very personal conversation. And that's what is so heartbreaking, is that this is your personal story. And when we talk about it, when these legislators, you know, stand at the floor of their General Assembly and give these big speeches, stories like yours, where someone turned their back on you, wasn't going to support you, you know, you become some sort of, footnote in history. And it's all very personal. And it shouldn't have to be something that is, a choice that you made is somehow politicized, or something that you feel that you're, you know, constantly being made to relive that all the time. And I understand. And I understand why, you know, you do. I think a lot of people do. And I think there are many women who suffer in silence. You know, you're being very brave tonight. And I know that you're helping a lot of other people who've gone through things like this, because every story is important. And Sally, I'm so sorry that you feel that you go through this every single day. Has it been worse?
At the time back then, I didn't think I had. I mean, I was alone. You know, he sent me away. I had nobody. Couldn't have done it on my own.
Right.
It was my only choice.
And Sally, it says here that you, with all these stories coming out, you don't feel like the government has a right to get involved, though. Is that how you feel?
No, they don't. And the other thing that really irritated me really bad was this, what's her name, Kay Ivey in Alabama, the governor?
Yes.
When she signs this supposed bill about the abortions, that's bull. I mean, that is just bull, because that doesn't mean anything. Just because she signed a bill, they know darn well that they cannot enforce their bill because it's unconstitutional. They cannot do that. They cannot uphold the laws on her bill that she signed.
Well, the other thing
is just not legal.
Well, and beyond being legal, you know, I know that a lot of people want to eliminate abortions altogether. You're never going. There's no such thing as an abortion ban. There's a restriction on access to it, is all there is. And then you have women who have the ability financially to seek that out, and then women who are not going to be able to try to do it to themselves, because they're going to be women who find themselves alone. With somebody who's turned their back on them, or somebody they can't have a baby with, as you did. And there are going to be women who are going to become desperate and do it to themselves, or find somebody who will do it for them in a unsafe way.
Yes, exactly, because I was fortunate enough that when I went through all this, it was legal and it was done, you know, sterile and surgically. And I'll tell you, I cried through the whole thing, and the nurse held my hand. And it was just heart-wrenching. But
Sally,
I had no choice.
Oh, Sally, I wish I could hug you. Sally, you know you did what you needed to do for yourself, and I know that there's nothing anybody can say or do that can ease this for you. I know it's a piece that is that it goes away and comes back. You know, do you find peace sometimes? I hope that you do.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you been able to talk to somebody professionally about, you know, the fact that you think about this? I mean, and I don't know that anybody could help you stop thinking about it. And, you know, everyone's different. But do you have someone that you can talk to?
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about it for the last 40 plus years. It's really hard. And,
but I mean,
all I can say is I'm definitely, you know, I do not believe a woman should be told what she can do with her body.
I am glad
I did what I did, and I regret it. But I'll tell you what, just ladies, please think long and hard before you do it, because it will haunt you.
Oh, Sally. Sally, can you hold on? I want to make sure that we follow up with you, and maybe, you know, just communicate a little bit, okay? Can you give can I put you on hold, and you can give Ro your email address to her?
Yes, I can do that.
I appreciate that, Sally. I hope that you have a good weekend, and I want to thank you for a lot of people out there listening right now who maybe have gone through a similar situation. Maybe they've had this kind of trauma in their lives as well. I want to thank you on their behalf and for me, because we do need to hear stories of what people have gone through personally. This is what it's about.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Sally. Hold on, okay, because Ro's going to get your email address, okay?
Okay.
Be well. More after this on 720 WGN. It is time to play What's That From? We have a pair of tickets to Writers Theater Next to Normal to give away and a gift card from Apt Electronics. When you know What's That From, you will win a prize. 312-981-7200. When you know What's That From, take it away, Roger Badish.
Exterior.
Oh, wait. Let me explain one more time. I'm sorry. Let me explain one more time for people who are like never heard. I just realized I introduced it as though everyone knows What's That From. For people who are maybe driving through the area, listening to the show for the first time, you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. I'm your host, aptly named Patty Vasquez.
And what's the radio station, Patty?
WGN Radio, 720 AM. Dave Lundy, Ken Jacobowski.
Is it the voice of the Midwest?
I hope so.
Yeah. Chicago's very own.
Ooh, the voice of the Midwest. Because overnight, the voice of the Midwest overnight, at least. Because there are very
like
many
21 states
original and, 38
yeah. 38 states
in Canada,
shorted out 17
parts of Mexico online globally, maybe even like I don't know, maybe we should find out the space.
Remember the guy in China?
I listened from Belgium.
Remember the guy in right. China who was learning English from
yes.
listening to the show
in Italy?
From where?
China. We had somebody in China. We've heard from South Africa. So my Finally Friday panel is here tonight. We usually take on the biggest headlines of the week on Friday night because I can't do it every single night. So that's why I obviously have been building up since last week. We haven't had a Finally Friday panel in 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
What
so.
Headlines do we do?
This is the one. And then we wind down a little bit by playing What's That From, where we take a classic movie scene and make it, and we read it, we act it out for you, a little radio theater, and basically ruin the movie for you forever.
Yeah, we destroy it, yes. basically.
And I just want to make sure people knew what's that from is. So
it's
when
supposed
you know.
To be funny.
So 312-981-7200. When you know What's That From, give us a call. All right, Roger, retake.
Exterior airport in Kokura, Japan. Daytime. It's a bright, sunny afternoon in peaceful Japan. Two doctors walk from their military transport plane in which they've made the trip from Seoul and approach a car with 25th Station Hospital emblazoned on its side. The driver, Sergeant Gorman, is asleep. With their golf clubs slung over their shoulders, they get into the back seat and close the door with the loudest possible bang.
Go out of there!
What?
Let me translate. I've had some exposure to the language. The young man is from Brooklyn, and he wants us to vacate this vehicle.
But weren't you supposed to meet the surgeons who are going to slice up the congressman's son?
You guys are the quacks.
You bet your ever-loving A, buddy boy.
Poor kid, gosh darn army.
But besides the operation, we've got to get in at least 18 holes of golf.
So let's haul butt, Sergeant.
Gosh darn army.
He starts the engine as they...
Yeah!
Wow. We're talking serious special effects on the Patty Vasquez
this
show.
This is Hollywood. Oh, hey, look.
Oh, beautiful. What do you think? Should we stop and play nine holes now and operate on the kid later if he's still alive?
Gosh darn army.
I think we ought to operate first. No frills. Get through it on the double. Then we'll be nice and relaxed on the course.
Good thinking.
Gosh darn army.
The doctors arrive at the hospital and talk to a nurse at the reception desk.
Well, where's the congressman's son at, honey?
Ward 6. Hey, you can't go in there. Who are you?
I'm the pro from Dover, and this is my favorite caddy.
Well, you can't go in. Not till you tell me your business, and I check with Colonel Merrill's office.
Well, if you must know...
Hold it. This soldier enforces her own orders. I'm ready to take her on. Anxious, single combat.
The doctor moves towards the nurse, who holds her ground staunchly till they're almost in contact. Then she takes a step back and continues to take one step backwards for each one of his in her direction. When they get close to the door, her resistance collapses entirely, and she runs back to her seat at the desk, where she grabs the phone as doctors march through the door. The doctors prop their golf bags against the foot of the congressman's son's bed, A ward nurse hovers near them, not actually cooperating with them, but not defying them either.
Don't worry, son. That's Captain Jackson. He's the best chest surgeon in the Far East and maybe in the whole U.S. Army. He'll fix you up fine. Your daddy saw to that.
Just like we thought. It's a routine problem. Nurse, who's in charge of operating procedures or preparations?
In answer to their question, the doctors see the head nurse bursting through the doors of the ward. Anticipating that a major confrontation is about to take place, doctors decide to keep it away from their patient's bedside. Accordingly, they pick up their golf bags and go to meet the advancing captain.
What are you hoodlums doing in this hospital?
We're surgeons, ma'am. We're here to work. All we want is our starting time.
You can't even look at a patient here till Colonel Merrill says it's okay, and he's still out for lunch.
Look, Mother, I want to go to work in 1 hour. We're the pros from Dover, and we figure to crack that kid's chest and get out to the golf course before it's dark. So find the gas passer and tell him to pre-medicate the patient. Then bring me the latest pictures on him. The ones we saw must be 48 hours old by now. And tell the kitchen to rustle up some lunch. Ham and eggs will do. Steak would be even better. And give me at least one nurse who knows how to work in close without getting her chest.
Oops, I forgot a word.
Without getting her her chest in my way. Although I wouldn't mind. You're going to have to move a little quicker than that. I said an hour.
I knew I was going to forget something.
Nice ad lib there, Eric.
Sorry. Her boobies. Don't let her get her boobies in the way. Oh, boy. I think we did okay until the end. I mean, I'm not saying we were going to win any awards or anything.
Headlights.
Bazoombas. Get your bazoombas out of here. Hey, Clyde, what's that from?
That is MASH.
You're right. Yay. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics to send out your way. They've been pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at apt.com. That's ABT.com. Clyde.
So I have a question for Clyde.
You. Yes.
Clyde, did it take you three sentences or?
Yeah, about three or four sentences, yes.
I feel like he called when he heard the introduction and the stage
well,
direction.
Well, you're peaceful Japan and Seoul.
Doctors in Japan.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Clyde, enjoy your purchase when you head out to Apt Electronics in Glenview or online at ABT.com. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
Of course, have a great weekend. Hold on the line. And Ro will get your information for that ABT.com card. Hey, Craig, do you live in the city?
No, I live out in the northwest suburbs.
Well, I have a pair of tickets for the Writers Theater in Glencoe that I'd love to send your way. There's a great production of Next to Normal. It's great, and it's a wonderful theater. So we'd love to send them out to you, all right?
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on the line. So there.
Do you want to do any other MASH trivia?
Oh, you have,
there's
you,
so good, so much good MASH trivia.
What kind of MASH? Do you want to give out more prizes? You saying or?
Well,
do
yeah, a question? If we have some, sure.
Yeah, if you have prizes, go ahead. Yeah. I have another pair. Well, let's do a Lou Malnati's. If you can answer Dave Lundy's trivia question about MASH.
So, the name of the first commanding officer in the TV version of MASH was played by a certain actor who then went on to have a really, really bad comedy show.
Oh.
What was the name of the comedy show?
Oh, ouch. That's a tough one. 312.
It's actually not if you're a child of a certain age.
Yeah, I even know it.
You know the bad comedy show? Did it last very long?
Maybe one or two seasons at the lowest. Yeah.
Ken,
the most,
did you watch this show?
No. I mean, I think of Chevy Chase's poor talk show, but obviously it wasn't Chevy Chase.
And actually, the actor has a connection to Illinois.
Oh.
He does.
Yeah. Wasn't he the actor that wanted to come off the show?
See, I gave a hint. It's a he.
It's a he.
Yeah, it's a he.
There weren't that many. Loretta Swift and...
That's it. That's about it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, I could do the whole MASH cast.
Who played...
both casts.
Who played Hot Lips in the movie?
Sally...
Kirkland.
Isn't it Sally Kirkland? But maybe that's the next question. I have two prizes.
It wasn't Sally Struthers.
I have to look it up though before I go giving away prizes.
Wait. No, it is Sally Kirkland.
I do remember that there was a guy who played in the movie who was not on the television show. I do remember that.
Yes,
he played a major role, and this is the guy Dave's talking about. But I can't remember. You know, I can't remember a comedy show that he had.
Sally Kellerman.
Kellerman.
Oh,
Kellerman.
Kellerman.
Yes.
There are a lot of people yelling at their radios right now.
SK. Yeah. Yes. Well, same initials.
Wasn't there only one actor who was both in the series and in the movie?
Yes, yes. There was.
312-981-7200. Who was the only actor to...
Aha. Uh-huh. Your first caller has the answer.
I believe I'm giving away a Leo Malnati's gift card to James when he tells me the answer. What's the name of the series and I guess the actor that Dave is asking about?
That was McLean Stevenson, and he played in a show called Hello, Larry.
There you
That's
go.
It.
Did you like
ding,
the show?
Ding, ding.
No.
No.
Nobody did.
Nobody did. All right. We're going to send a Lou Malnati's card your way. Hold on the line, and Ro will get your information. We will send that out. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. We have run out of time, so I'll just go with Radar as being the only actor.
Yes, who was, Gary Berghoff.
Yeah, he was the only character that was in the movie and in the series.
And I did not know that Gary Berghoff became famous for starring in Broadway. It's too late to ask another question, but for starring in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Was he Charlie Brown?
I believe he played Linus.
Oh, he would make a good Linus, too.
Yeah.
Even
and then, of course, we've all eaten at his restaurant, Berghoff's.
Not lately, we haven't. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
I'm going to go first because I'm going to go first. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go first and last on Tell Me Something Good. How's Ooh, that?
Kick it off and wrap it up.
I think I'm going
to
do that
tonight.
Sure.
You have the right to do that.
But it seems a little needy and greedy. But I want to thank our listeners. While we may disagree, it seems, if I'm not mistaken, Dave, at least we weren't disagreeable on the calls or the texts. Well, for those of you who are disagreeable, I've already forgotten it. So we're moving on. And that's how you have a conversation. So thank you so much for joining us. I really, in particular, want to thank Sally for calling in and being so brave and honest about her story. I want to thank Jasmine for always wanting to learn more and to express herself. I want to thank all of our callers. We couldn't get to all of our calls tonight, so thank you so much for everyone who joined us. I know some people were on hold and then maybe dropped the call because they, you know, it's not an easy conversation to have. So thank you, everyone, and my panelists as well who were in the room when I was yelling on and off the air. So thank you very much, everybody. Who wants to go next for Tell Me Something Good? Dave, you want to go?
You know, it was super easy. It was the Cubs' bats tonight, particularly Chris Bryant's home runs in three consecutive innings off three different pitchers. That was pretty freaking awesome.
Excellent. Eric, do you have something good for us?
I do. I'm pretty excited. Tomorrow, I'm going to go with my bride and with my cousins, and we're going to go see the musical 108 Years in the Making.
Ooh. Yeah,
Miracle.
Let me know how that
is. My cousin's daughter, Kathleen Mueller Mason, is the company manager.
Yay. Where's that playing?
At the Royal George.
That's a great theater, too. Oh, have fun. That'll be great. Ken, you got something good for us?
Well, I guess yes and no. I want everyone to take a few moments with a smile on your face, pour your favorite beverage, and celebrate the lives and careers of Peggy Lipton, Doris Day, Tim Conway, all of whom passed this week. Absolutely so many countless hours of joy that in my life that I got from all of those, especially Peggy Lipton when she was my first crush.
Aww.
I mean, and it's in Tim Conway. Wow.
What a talent.
So, you know, it's so sad funny. They're gone, but boy, we have a lot to celebrate. Go to YouTube, watch some skits. You'll laugh and laugh and laugh.
Do you have a favorite Tim Conway? Because my favorite is when he's the dental student.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And yes. You look at Harvey Korman. He keeps.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say look for on YouTube. One of them should be. And then when he was with Mrs. DeWiggins, what was his name in those sketches, too? Those were incredible.
Mr. Tugball.
Oh, my God. So good.
And Peggy Lipton, she was one of the first real, you know, if you remember her from Mod Squad, I mean, she was just one of the first real cool, you know, women before Charlie's Angels.
Peggy Lipton.
Her and Clarence Williams, and I can't remember the other guy who was in it, but Clarence Williams went on to a long, long, long career, still acting, I believe.
Clarence Williams III. Do you remember that?
Right.
It was always the third.
Oh, she is beautiful.
And, you know,
Yes.
You know, Tim Conway actually died of the same condition my dad died of. It's a very obscure disease, and so when I read his obituary, it was particularly touching.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
What is the?
It's a condition called normal pressure hydrocephalus, which is an imbalance of water in the brain, and yeah. Apparently he had suffered for many years, like my dad had suffered for many years.
Oh, I had no idea, Dave.
And it was a you never, ever, 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 ever see that condition mentioned in the press. And so I was like, oh, whoa. And most of the articles I read about it actually misdiagnosed what he died of.
And don't forget Doris Day. We've been talking about Tim Conway. Doris Day was the bomb for three decades until she walked away of her own choice.
She became an animal activist as well.
I used to like the Doris Day show. Okay, see,
well, you saw the Doris.
That's a crowd stopper.
She didn't even like the show. So
all right, if you thought Hello Larry was obscure.
She did the show because her husband that she had divorced just before the show started stole all her money, and she needed money. She needed to repair her life. What a life together.
Well, will you do me a favor, if you can, before we wrap up here? Can you see if you can find Sentimental Journey sung by Doris Day? Let's see if we can play a little bit of that. Mm. It was one of her number ones.
The other thing about, little known fact about Doris Day, in the 50s and early 60s, when the Brooklyn Dodgers moved to Los Angeles and the New York Giants moved to San Francisco, Doris Day was great friends with Willie Mays and with Jackie Robinson. And most of Willie Mays, the pool, the swimming pool and other things he has at his house were paid for because he told Doris he needed some money for a pool, so she put him on a couple of shows that she was doing. He got paid. And then she'd see him 6 months later and he'd say, well, you know, I kind of need a putting green in the backyard. So she brought him on a couple of shows and he got a putting green.
That's great.
Yeah. Gonna set my heart at ease. It's a great song.
That's an early Doris Day.
Yeah, this is one of her first hits.
Very early, yeah.
She's one of only 8 performers to be in the number one in the box office 4 times.
Oh, yeah. I loved her.
You can
in,
keep playing underneath. Can we play it underneath? Yeah. You think?
I like that. I loved her in the Pajama Game.
Oh,
Pajama Game is one of my favorite.
Glass
Bottom Boat.
I think she was in that.
Sure. Ro, do you have something good before we go to the break? Like
a child. Yeah, my mom liked her Mother's Day gift.
Yay!
So there's that.
Woo-hoo!
Can I do a quick one?
I was never going to miss you, Roger. Go ahead.
I wasn't, because I'm looking at the clock. I went to an opera.
Hey, what'd you see?
Friday afternoon.
What'd you see?
I saw our youngest granddaughter, the third graders at her school, put on an opera. This is from the Chicago Opera Theater Company. They go into the grade schools and the kids write their own opera along with the music and design their own sets. Wow. And then from each school, one of the classes gets selected to go to the Studebaker Theater June 5th.
Whoa.
To join all the other schools to put on their opera. And this year's opera is called A Whale of a Tale. And my young one's class got chosen from her school.
Oh,
cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
So it was
Roger.
Fun.
That's great. And I said I was going to end it as well before we go to the break. I have forgotten every single night this week. I was in Los Angeles, and before I left, I just mentioned to Steve, I was like, you know what this hallway needs? We have this entrance with like kind of a turning stairwell. It's looked the exact same the entire 19 years we've lived there. I said, you know, I kind of wish we could like paint the top of this over this railing like yellow. To kind of match as you walk into our living room. And I came home, and as soon as I opened the door, I got out of the Uber from the airport. I opened the door and I knew right away he had painted. And these are high ceilings. While I was gone, it looked so good. It was exactly what I'd wanted. And it was a lovely Mother's Day gift. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve.